Folks, just yesterday, the 23rd of May, a day before Pentecost, the Salvadorian Archbishop Oscar Romero was beatified in El Salvador. I'm not sure if you remember the 1980s and the entire struggle going on in El Salvador, but Oscar Romero was the Archbishop at that time. This was a time of a tremendous economic oppression and gross human rights violations. I mean, thousands of people disappeared. They were killed. Anybody who opposed the government was tortured and most often put to death. There were Jesuit priests and seminarians among them. And Archbishop Romero was in the forefront of the struggle for economic and social justice. He wrote a book, and it's called The Violence of Love. Just the title itself will make you think much. The Violence of Love. And he writes in that book, he says, for the church, the many abuses of human life, liberty, and dignity are a heartfelt suffering. As a holy defender of God's rights and of his images, the church must cry out. So the church cannot keep quiet in the face of injustice. And Oscar Romero did exactly that. As a result, one day when he was celebrating the Eucharist, and right at the consecration, as he lifted up the chalice, an assassin shot a bullet through his heart, and he died at the altar. Once, Romero was a peaceful and non-violent revolutionary. Today, Oscar Romero is Saint Oscar Romero. Today we celebrate the feast of the Pentecost, and I think of Pentecost as a peaceful revolution. And my emphasis is on the word revolution. Pentecost was a peaceful revolution. And every celebration of the Pentecost is an invitation to each one of us to join in this peaceful revolution. Pentecost changed the lives of the disciples and of the early church. We know that for a fact. In fact, if we are gathered here today, it is because the Holy Spirit came down powerfully, yet gently, violently, yet lovingly, and empowered the church with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that every celebration of the Pentecost can do the same thing for us. We must want the Holy Spirit to come and just change our lives in such a way that we will be empowered like the disciples themselves were. So I'm proposing three ways in which we can be part of the revolution of the Pentecost. Or at least the revolution that the Holy Spirit brought about for the church and for the disciples. So first, let's talk about the revolution within us. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. In one sense, well, Jesus could do so many things. He's giving them the Spirit. But in quite another sense, those words, receive the Holy Spirit, could be the most revolutionary words in the history of the world. Because whenever the Spirit has been involved, there has been a revolution. Think about creation. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then when God says, let there be light, and creation just came into being. That was a revolution. order and beauty and sound and music from chaos and darkness. I was the work of the Spirit. And then when God made man and woman and made human clay figures out of them, God breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. And they came to being. Human life begins. That was a revolution. At the Annunciation, Mary received the Holy Spirit and God becomes man. That was something. Jesus began his own ministry, and I call Jesus' revolution of love. Jesus' ministry begins at his baptism. The Holy Spirit came upon him and bore testimony that he was the Son of God. And you and I know what that ministry was like. That was the work of the Spirit. At Pentecost, the early Christian church received the Holy Spirit and it changed the course of human history. And then, just before Vatican II, Pope John the 23rd, who was recently declared a saint, he opened the windows of St. Peter's and his words were, "Let there be a new Pentecost." And you know what that has meant? That Pentecost changed the face of the church. Today, we are being invited, like Oscar Romero, to be part of that same revolution. Today the Holy Spirit comes upon us in a new way. And folks, I know you're here for Sunday Mass, but let this not be just any other Mass. How we wish that each one of us would go with a revolution right inside here. With the Spirit of God touching the very core of our being. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do within us. Wherever the Holy Spirit needs to let that fire burn, let it burn. Sometimes it's hard. And so, during this Mass, twice we will pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Once, when we pray for the Spirit to come upon the gifts to make the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. And then there is a second time, it's called the second Epiclesis, where we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon God's people and make us one. Let us pray that this revolution could happen within each one of us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Secondly, from the revolution within us, perhaps to what I'm calling a quiet revolution outside of us. I was not here for the 11 o'clock Mass last week, but in my homily, I referred to the latest Pew Research Center sending out its latest data on the religious population in the United States. And Pew Research Center has let us know that the percentage of adults who describe themselves as Christians, so this is anybody above 18 years of age, percentage of adults who describe themselves as Christians has dropped from 78.4% in 2007 to 70.6% in 2014. In the last 7 years, 8% of the adult population of the United States has stopped calling themselves Christian. And this is across the board. Young people, adults, retiring people, retired people. And it affects all the Christians across the board. Protestants and Catholics are the ones, mainline Protestant and Catholics, that are the most affected by it. But even evangelical churches, even though the numbers dropped a little less than the Catholics and Protestants, their numbers dropped too. What shall we do with this data? What can you and I do about it? I want to give you an example from somebody in our parish who might give us just a little clue on what each one of us can do, not to overcome the challenge of the data, but simply to make Christ attractive. Now, you know, this year we are in this year called discipleship, encountering Christ every day. Based on the Pope's invitation in our parish, we've tried to focus on finding ways to encounter Christ every day. We had given out those blue postcards that if you go to the main vestibule, people have given us numerous ways in which they've encountered Christ. At some point, I hope you get to read that. It's hanging in a garland right across in the main vestibule. But here's the latest one that I got from a parishioner. He writes, at the parish retreat, we all received bracelets bearing the cross of Jerusalem. Those who came for the retreat, you remember, you received a leather bracelet with a medal medallion of the Jerusalem cross. Everybody went home with one. Some of them are still wearing it. Some of you have kept it home. So he says, we all received bracelets bearing the cross of Jerusalem. I made it a goal of mine to wear it every day until the next year retreat, as a way for me to always be mindful to be a disciple and to keep my eyes, ears, and heart open for encounters with Christ. It was a good way for me to remember that being a disciple is a choice, to either wear it or set it aside. I found the bracelet to be a positive challenge to me to continue to choose to be a disciple wherever I felt the urge to take it off. So there were times that he didn't want to wear the bracelet because of either what he was doing or where he was going, but he kept it on as a way to remind himself of the choice he has made. Another positive aspect was that it allowed me to wear my faith on my sleeve, if you will, as people would see the bracelet peek out of my shirt sleeve or in plain sight next to my watch as I run and I open conversation with other people about my faith. Now here's the interesting part of this story. As I was helping a woman load a heavy air conditioner unit into her shopping cart at Walmart recently, the thread holding the medallion of the cross of Jerusalem broke. Instead of being upset, the situation made me think of how Christ sacrificed himself to help us. Christ broke himself to make our broken selves whole. And he continually breaks himself in the Eucharist for us. My bracelet could have broken off at any other time, in any other circumstance, but I'm glad it was when I was helping someone whose name I may never know. And it is my hope that they will offer an act of kindness to another. For now, the medallion rests on the item I most have on me, my keys. While not written literally on me, it will remain to serve as a reminder to me to continually be a follower of Christ. Now, this person is not doing anything big. Just in a simple, quiet way, bearing witness to Christ. Not shouting from the rooftop, not thrusting the gospel down people's throat, but just in simple ways, wearing a bracelet that has the cross and helping people and then constantly reminding. This is what I mean by a quiet revolution. You and I, filled with the Holy Spirit, can do this. This is within our power. This is achievable. What stops us from being the kind of witness that Christ wants us to be? Just as the Father sent me, I send you, says Jesus. Let us go in his name and be that quiet revolutionary, that quiet witness, that quiet presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we can reverse the data. Perhaps we can make Christ more attractive. May the Holy Spirit help us to be that quiet revolution. And thirdly, I want to talk about this wider revolution. In the gospel reading, Jesus offers his disciples peace as he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And folks, as I read that reading, and I'm reading it in Hindi. I can think of my country back home that could use some peace. I'm thinking of our nation. We could do with some racial and economic peace right now, here. I think of all the places in the world where there's so much violence, in Burundi, in parts of Africa, in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in parts of Latin America. This need for peace everywhere. And it's truly disillusioning for me particularly, and to think that in this time and age, race and the color of our skin matters. It's beyond my imagination. How is it that after all our education, all our advances, we have sent rockets to Mars, and yet we haven't gotten beyond the color of our skin? How in the world is this possible? It's so disillusioning. And so I believe that our multicultural mass today is a revolutionary witness to the unity that was exhibited at the first Pentecost. We have people from parts of Africa. We have the Rwandan choir here. We have different countries of Latin America. We have people from India over here. And as our grandparents came, I'm sure there are Germans, there are Italians, there are Irish, there are all kinds of ethnicities here. We're not fighting right now, are we? Under one faith, one God, one baptism, one Eucharist, we're all gathered together here. This is a revolutionary witness. In other words, unity and peace is possible in the world. It is possible. At that first Pentecost, boundaries were broken. People understood each other, even though they spoke different languages. Confusion was replaced by unity, and the good news of Jesus Christ was proclaimed without fear. And so let us take this symbol of unity with us wherever we go. When you speak, when you think, when you interact with people, let's not make comments that bring about disharmony and disunity. We can use language that's helpful, simple ways to build unity. Let's stop judging people in our minds. Perhaps we can just accept them for who they are. So the invitation today is to take the beauty of this celebration to the outside world. It seems to me that today nothing short of a Pentecost can bring our world together. Nothing short of a Pentecost. We need a Pentecost in our world. And I'm praying let that happen here just now. Let that happen here today among us, inside us, in small ways. And then let's take the beauty of what we are doing today to the outside world so we can be the presence of Christ. We can be the Pentecost in our world. People of God said, amen.